Today's episode is a heavy one, and I want to warn you ahead of time that it's an important conversation, but it is one where the gospel needs to shine the brightest because it goes down into some of the darkest areas of our culture. We're going to be talking about abortion and how it's very much demonic. And this conversation is going to be with someone who's been in this industry for 38 years, trying to rescue people out of the kingdom of darkness, rescuing them from committing abortion. And I look forward to having this conversation because it is also here to encourage those who have been fooled by Satan that there is grace and mercy for you. Stay tuned. Ever read the Bible and walk away feeling like you're failing? No matter how hard you try, you're never measuring up. That's not a motivation problem, that's a reading problem. Most people have never been taught how to read the Bible the way Jesus taught it. So when they hear things like, be perfect, deny yourself, take up your cross, they assume it's all about trying harder. But what if that's not what Jesus was doing at all? What if the law isn't meant to fix you, but to reveal your need for a savior? And what if the gospel isn't advice, but an announcement of what Christ has already done for you? That's the difference between law and gospel. And once you see it, everything changes. Clarity, rest, and confidence. In the Bible according to Jesus, I show you how to read scripture the way Jesus intended, so you stop feeling crushed and confused and start living with confidence and rest in Christ. You can get your copy of the book at theocast.org. Welcome to another episode of Theocast. I'm John Moffitt. I'm your host, the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And if this is your first time listening, we're so thankful that you're here. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, we have so many resources available for you. Just go to theocast.org. We have books that are there, audiobooks, classes. There's a community, all of that. If you can't afford any of it, we want to provide it to you because we are a supported ministry through donations. So for those of you that are listening and you continue to donate to us every single month or purchase the books that we have. We've sent out thousands of books so far this year just for free for those. We do have an audiobook that just came out. So if you haven't downloaded that yet, and if you need it for free, we'll give it to you. But the Bible according to Jesus, learning how to enjoy your Bible, learning how to read it where it's not something that you dread every single morning thinking like, I have to do this. I want to show you how it becomes a joy. And I know there's a lot of pastors who've been using it to take their churches through that. So, all right. So today is just to jump into it. Today is I'm muting my phone because I'm afraid of what this topic's going to do to my phone and computer. But today is you didn't get it wrong. Yes. Jackie, last name Moffitt. I am related to Jackie. And I did Google your name, by the way. There's a lot of Jackie Moffitts. I had no idea.
There are
so many Jackie Moffitts. But Jackie is my aunt and truly been a second mom. She's lived next to me for now the last 15 years, lived a few hours away, just up near Chicago. And we have spent so much time there and other states together. But Mark and Jackie have just been just a joy and a pleasure to be around them and my cousins. But we have been teasing and talking literally for almost 10 years about doing this episode. And I said, enough is enough. We need to do this. So for those of you that don't know, Jackie has been in ministry for many, many years. Am I guessing right? This is over 30 years now for you?
38 years.
I knew it was over 30. I just couldn't remember.
I was 12.
Exactly.
I was 12.
You started following the Lord when you were 12. Exactly. So 38 years. Yeah, I do remember when I was little, my dad talking to you about what you were doing. So we'll get into this in a minute, but you've been doing ministry. We're going to talk about it in a very unique and powerful way for 38 years. And I am excited to bring this on because this is part of what Theocast is about, bringing hope and joy. But then how do we practically do that? And then what are the ramifications? And then how can we partner in these type of ministries? What can we do to partner with Jackie? So Jackie, talk to us a little about what you're doing up in just south of Chicago. You're in the Illinois area. So talk to us about how you kind of got started and what we're doing or what you're doing now.
Sure. And what a privilege for me to be with you.
Absolutely.
I'm so proud of you and what God has done And expanding your kingdom. So I'm honored. I'm a proud aunt, but I'm going to try to give you a short version of a God story. Like I was telling you earlier, God stories can be very long.
Yes, they can.
But I'm going to make it very short.
Yeah.
When Mark and I were married, we found out very early that we could not have children, biological children, that God had changed that course and plan for us. And so we adopted our first son, Andrew, and we worked with the youth. I happened to be at a slumber party. They were talking about what were back then called crisis pregnancy centers. And I didn't know anything about it. Heard there was a book called If I Die Before I Wake. The next morning, put Andrew in his car seat, went to the library. Only one library had it. Read it that first day, read it all the way through, gave it to Mark, and instantly felt a call. And so back then, they were called crisis pregnancy centers. So from the time we read the book, we would have people come into our home. We'd have all kinds of pamphlets out. We'd make them watch two movies, A Question of Worth by James Dobson and The Silent Scream, which now I wonder if we should have done that. But you know, trying to educate
ignorance
people
is bliss, right? That's right.
And I was always pro-life, but I never understood the issue like I did when I had a statistic in my home. He could have been easily a statistic. And I, you know, many times I certainly come up with my own ways of reasoning with it. You know, God opens and closes wombs, and maybe that closing of our womb made us more sensitive and more leaning into the call. And so we started from the year we read the book and got people in and got aboard. We were open. We were incorporated and opened as a 501c3. Back then, they were called Crisis Pregnancy Centers, which was an organization ministry. It's a parachurch ministry. Women who are seeking abortions typically aren't going to walk through your church doors.
Nope.
And so,
and Jackie, real quick, why is that? Just so people understand, why is that they're not going to walk through a church door?
What's really amazing, and I think where the church sometimes is not aware of or thinks about, that it doesn't happen in the pew. And it does when you know that one in four women will experience an abortion in their lifetime.
One in four. That's crazy.
One in four by the time she's 40. So they're not going to walk through the doors of your church for help. It certainly has shifted over the years how the hearts have been hardened. You know, 38 years ago, it was a little different. There was some shame involved.
Yeah.
There was shame involved of having an abortion. It wasn't freely talked about like it is now. It's a rite of passage for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That it didn't used to be 38 years ago. And so, long story short, we had opened up four centers. We now have, we have three centers now. The reason for that, we closed two in Northwest Indiana because of the ban. And so what happened with the ban is that certainly women in Indiana aren't going to come to us as freely because they know they can't have an abortion in the state and they're afraid. So they're going to go out of state. So we opened up a center right over the state line, closest to one of the busier ones in Illinois because the Indiana women are going right across the state line. So three centers now. We've changed a lot. Our primary focus is the woman who feels that abortion is her best option. And the other is the woman who's determined that it is. So I would say statistically, we're probably in the top 4% in the nation of how many abortion determined, abortion minded women we see.
Wow.
We've been able to capture her and get her interested in things that she doesn't want.
That's right.
Because any woman who's wanting to have an abortion wants nothing to do with pregnancy. She doesn't want to come to a pregnancy center.
No.
And so we're now a medical clinic. And so what services that we provide is that we provide abortion information. We go through the abortion pill. We go through the abortion procedure. We do the ultrasound so they can see the life that they're carrying. We give accurate information. We have you know, our nurses are well-trained and staffed. We have two medical doctors. And so our hope is when they come to us that we, even if they choose abortion, we feel that we've won.
Yeah.
And how we've won is that she's fully informed when she leaves. And so what we try to do when she walks through those doors is that we're different. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know why we care about her, but it's because he cares for her.
That's right.
So we try to do it in a way with full respect to her and to meet her where she is. And our hope and prayer is that she would choose life. I would say women are different than they've been. I think our world is different than it's been in the last 38 years. We're a lot harder. Mm-hmm. We're very invested in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of rights.
That's right.
People are now killing their neighbors because they feel they have a right to do it. And so the value of life has been so diminished over the years. And women, and we see our demographic is probably 22 to 38
right.
is our higher demographic.
Yeah.
We don't see the real young ones. Primarily, we do see them, but it's not the but the majority of who we see because most of them are going to keep their babies.
Yeah. Wow.
Most younger women, young girls do, depending on the age.
Interesting.
But they're very difficult. They're very hardened. Mm. 38 years ago, I would say, not the majority, but I would say 50% of who we saw had some kind of religious belief.
Wow. And that's not the case
some
now.
Some kind of, it is not.
Yeah, which is why they're not going to go to a church.
10%.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. I would say it's 10%. Mm. I mean, people who don't even know the basics.
Right. That's right.
Of biblical principles. Nothing.
That's right.
They've not been to Sunday school. They've not. So they don't have any faith.
No.
So if you don't have any faith and you have no conviction of the Holy Spirit,
yep.
You have nothing to guide you but your moral. And most of the time, that's pretty corrupt when you don't know the Lord.
That's right. Well, this is what I was trying to get to is I remember growing up, we would do walks for life every year. Mm-hmm. Our church was. And these are all very important things to help our culture think through, like the lies that they are believing. I know there are a lot of churches that are very involved in protesting abortion clinics. But then there's the other side of it where protesting is good and we need to pray and be involved as a church. But what you felt convicted by God is and have been able to do is saying, well, we've got to throw a net out and start grabbing some of these people who have been lied to and use love and affection and wisdom and modern day, I would say modern day techniques. I mean, drawing women in to say, hey, look, we're going to help you with your health, but then we're going to love you with God's love is a powerful way of thinking about Peter says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. So you're loving these women, caring for them. And I know the stories because you've told me, because they look at you and go, why are you doing this? Like, why do you care about me? Why does this matter to you? And those are the opportunities where you say, well, I'm going to tell you about the hope that I have that obviously you don't have. I mean, talk to us about how that your staff is trained and they think this way when they're realizing we're here to do a medical job to rescue and educate. But at the same time behind this, there is definitely more going on.
Well, there is. I mean, we face warfare.
That's right.
Every day. Every day we put the key in the door. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to be fighting.
Yep.
And so prayer is number one for us. But the way we handle those that walk through the doors of our ministry is we see that we're in the trauma unit. Mm-hmm. These people are dying.
That's right.
And so what we try to do is to stop the bleeding. Mm. In the sense in the trauma unit. Mm. So our first focus is to talk about, you know, that before we do anything about the gospel with her or talk to her about that. We've got to meet her. Mm-hmm. She's dying.
That's right.
In a sense. So she's in the trauma unit. And so that's what we do. We bandage her up and do the services that we need to do in order to help her make an informed decision and know exactly what she's doing, which is not what our competitor would be doing. Mm-hmm. They don't give any information out, but we give it all. Mm-hmm. So when we talk to them in the very beginning, we do ask them if they have any spiritual belief when we go through the intake form, because that gives us a good heartbeat on how to handle them in the counseling room or how to meet their need. If they have no spiritual belief, we don't talk to them about it then.
That's right.
Yeah. It has no meaning to them. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is build a relationship with them. And so I remember I got back into the counselor room after 38 years for 4 weeks because someone was out and I had to get in. And I met with a woman four times. She's still aborted. Mm. But the fourth visit, I got to talk to her about faith. Mm. And I was able to pray with her. She's still aborted. Mm-hmm. But she still hugged me when she left. Because she knew I still cared about her, even though I didn't agree with her.
That's right.
And so that's our approach. We're relationship pursuers.
Yep.
We, a lot of times, especially when women are making these decisions, we want them to know that we love them and we care about them and we're giving them that information. But we want to be for them. They abort. They know we don't think that's what they should be doing and all those, but we still call them.
That's right.
We still pursue them.
That's right.
So we are definitely, we will chase after them until they tell us to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Now, we always ask permission
right.
if we can call them.
That's right.
But we are relationship pursuers.
That's
and
right.
we just meet her where she's at. Mm. Some of these situations are incredibly difficult.
That's right.
Some of them are not. Mm-hmm. They're just making decisions on wanting to have any more babies, and they're married and they're financially stable. They just don't want anymore. Mm.
That's right.
So it's the spectrum for sure.
Yeah.
On what you deal with, but how, you know, you struggle all the time. How do we have opportunities, get opportunities, and we know that when they walk through the doors, we show them the love of Christ
right.
by how we treat them.
That's right.
And meet right. them where they're at.
Right. And it's so powerful because people, I think, forget, you know, when we think about evangelism, at times it's like, oh, I got to evangelize this person right now. Well, you need to define what does it mean to evangelize? And when does that process begin? Does it begin once you say you're a sinner? Or does it begin by showing of kindness, showing the love of Christ, being sacrificial, demonstrating that they are valued, that they're not a product, that they are not just something to be consumed, that like all that's when evangelism begins. And, you know, I do believe that this is part of what I think has been lost in evangelicalism, and which why I love your ministry in so much is that it does demonstrate that you are catching people that it's really hard for Christians to catch. I don't know how my church would ever be able to talk to an unbelieving woman who is at one of the darkest moments of her life, right? She's making a really, really tough decision. And I don't know how I could have that conversation. But then you have a lady in your center who begins to have a conversation and has the right to follow up with her because she's there for help. And you just never know. And I'm sure you have stories about people down the road who eventually end up in church and do come to Christ and call you later and saying, I didn't profess Christ then, but I did later. And it was the process that started here. I know you have those stories because you told me about them when we have dinner and stuff together.
I do. And I just had one recently when I was in the council room, met with a girl for three times. And at the third time, when she first came in, she was thinking abortion was her best option. Every time she came in, I go, so where are you at in the percentage? And on the third visit with her, and I brushed a little bit on my faith with her. Mm-hmm. And the third time, we had an in-depth conversation, an hour and a half. But I'd worked with her three different times. Mm. She did accept the Lord as her Savior. And she talked about it in our video and how we gave her a Bible and how things had changed for her. And our whole role now with her is to disciple her.
Amen.
Yeah, does that happen often? No, it doesn't. But we are absolutely seed planters.
Well, and the fact that it does happen is incredible.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's God, right? Right. We know walking into those rooms, we have no volunteers. Everybody is staffed. That we feel that we have to have the best people on the front lines.
Yeah.
And so everybody is trained. We when our client changes, we change. Mm. So we're very intentional in how we serve them.
Amen.
But it's war.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right, and that's what I want to get to.
Because Satan wants to destroy the image of God. Where is that in every human being he creates?
That's right.
Where can he get it the best? Mm. Right there.
That's right.
So it's Satan's direct attack on the image of God.
Well, not only that, I mean, you've got to probably have women who have had abortion before. So it's probably not first timers that come in and they're thinking like, do I really want to do this a second time? And then there's a ton of shame that is associated with that. The reason why this episode is important is not only do we want to speak to those who are thinking about it, but we also want to speak to those who have and their eyes have been opened and they carry that shame. Like, I can't, you know, I have a murderer at heart, and they're not just at a heart, but like in action. And that's a shame that I'm sure you and your centers have had to deal with, just walking people through like the realities of once their eyes are open to it and helping them understand that there is forgiveness there. As horrible as this might be, there is forgiveness for anybody, and no matter what situation they find themselves in, which is probably it's hard for women to believe at times.
Well, it's hard for me in my sin.
That's right. Right. That's right.
It's hard for even me in my sin to think that, not to carry the shame of that, and to know God's abundance, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness, and to do something as impactful. Even though a woman may deny it, doesn't think she has it, God has put that nurturing spirit in everyone.
That's right.
He does it with the birds. He does it with the animals. He does it. So when you go against something that God has created in you, is very hard.
Yeah.
Once you go against that.
That's right.
And so there are consequences for that.
That's right.
For sure.
Yeah. And those consequences are powerful.
Had many.
Yeah.
But that's also Satan's hold.
Right.
Right.
That's
when he
right.
does this, he gets the life of that child and what it could have been. Mm. But he also gets a mother a life of guilt and shame and the struggles that she'll have. We've worked with many of them, and they, you know, going through the steps of, you know, forgiveness and repentance and all of that. It's still hard not to pick up that suitcase.
That's right. It truly is.
And you know, and that's Satan's tool. He's going to go, you're bad. You're not good.
That's right.
Look what you did. You did a horrible thing. Yes. Was it a sinful thing and wrong thing to do? Absolutely. But I also nailed my Savior to a cross.
That's right. That's right. My sin made me just as guilty as anyone else who has ever committed abortion. We both need
right.
forgiveness
so there are
and
consequences.
Grace. There are, for sure.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
But there are, and that's where Satan, we don't want him to win on that.
No.
With her.
No, there is a new heavens and a new earth for
her,
that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, and not just for her, but for, you know, the generations to come after that baby.
That's right.
We looked it up. 38, I think, last year. It doesn't sound like a big number, but we're not in a metropolitan area, but those were babies that were going to die.
38.
That 38, which is a classroom.
Yeah.
So well, that's, we did the math.
One would be great. I'd be happy for one.
I know, right?
38.
But these, when we say 38, we're talking about 38 that we're going to die.
That's right.
That God graciously, this isn't because we're good and great. It's because he is.
That's right.
We can't change a mind or heart. Mm. We can't.
That's right.
But he can.
Amen.
And so that's our prayer. Do what only he can do.
Amen.
But we want to be faithful in what he's called us to do.
Mm.
And we want to do it well.
Amen.
We want him to, we know that not only do we represent him first, but we represent every donor in every church that entrusts us to do what they can't do.
That's right.
And so we want to make sure that we do that in a Christ-honoring way.
Amen.
But those 38 babies... children was calculated out four generations from them on is over 400 and something people.
Mm.
So it's not just them. Mm-hmm. It's all those that will come. You know, numbers are important. Mm-hmm. You know, we all calculate that, right?
Sure.
How many
sure.
We have. But if we have a, and I, please, it's not that I'm making light of any of it.
Yeah.
But whenever we have, you know, a school shooting and two children die, it's a massacre.
That's
it's
right.
horrible.
That's
it's
right.
awful. Mm-hmm. 38 babies.
That's right.
Could have been.
That's right.
A statistic.
That's right.
So that is an honor and a privilege. Mm. And so humbled that God would entrust us to speak on his behalf.
Yeah. Amen.
To those who can't speak.
Amen.
But it doesn't come without a price.
No. No. And this is where this is where the conversation, I'm going to warn parents, if you're letting your children listen, you might want to finish this verse and then come back. And this is where things might get a little bit more sober-minded. And I think it's healthy because in the Christian world, we have done two things. We have been so deceived by Satan where I hear Christians promoting the right to saying that the ending of a child's life in a mother's womb is a biblical thing. It's acceptable before the Lord for Christians to affirm that. And I'm trying not to get this censored so it gets the most views possible. And then I have heartbroken conversations where I just can't believe that one who says they would follow Christ would think this is an acceptable choice. And then on top of that, we live in a culture that is under the influence of the evil one, the God of this world, and they have no idea. He is so good at what he does that they are offering sacrifices to him. And they have no idea that they're doing it. So I was talking to you, Jackie, about this. I had just finished preaching. I'm working through the book of Genesis. So we're going to be getting into chapter 12. We just finished chapter 11. And chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel. And most people, they just remember their childhood of being, oh, how silly you, thinking you can build a stairway to heaven so that you could make yourself up there to be with God. No, the exact opposite. What was going on in the Tower of Babel, what's going on in Babel was not an affection towards God to try and get to God. It was a rebellion against him. And if you read the text, you can realize this. God tells them to spread. They said, oh, we're going to gather and we're going to become powerful lest we spread like God told us to. They knew what they were doing was wrong. And then they built this tower. And Moses is very sly. He's right. You know, you have to understand this is hundreds of years after the Tower of Babel that Moses is writing this, the children of Israel in the desert. And he wants to remind them of some important realities that we wouldn't fully understand unless you understand the culture. And as Moses gives the details, it's like this big overview detail. And then he drops down and gives them high level details. Then he comes down and gives them these small little details that to us, they don't matter. But if you live in the era, you would catch it. And what he says is, oh, this tower that they were building, you need to pay attention to the structure of the tower. They were using a certain kind of brick, burnt brick, and they were using a certain kind of mortar, which is bitumen. And immediately, anybody who would know, that is how a ziggurat is built. 100 miles from the Babel, where that location is, 100 miles to this day, there's still a ziggurat standing. And a ziggurat is just an old biblical word or old historical word that just means a tower or a sacrificial altar. And what you learn, what happened on these, this is the part that's gruesome for parents, but what you learned that happened on top of these ziggurats was that they would make sacrifices of their children. And this is what, I mean, if you go and look at the history of ziggurats and even the history of the Israelites, how many times they are told to stop sacrificing their children. By the way, in sacrifice, I'm not trying to be gross, but in sacrifice, it literally meant that when you would offer a sacrifice that you would consume a portion of the child as the ritual rite. This is what God is stopping in Genesis 11. He says that I need to put a stop to it because he says the evil that they will pursue they'll have no end, meaning that not that they could do whatever they want, but their hearts had turned so evil that there was nothing that they wouldn't try to gain power apart from God. This is the whole area of the Tower of Babel was a ploy to go against God, but yet still pursue some type of demonic angelic power. What's interesting about today, you're like, well, why does this matter to today, John? Why does this matter with Jackie? Well, because Jackie's on the front line, basically standing in the front of these ziggurats of the of these women's hearts, because these women have been told that they can have control and power of their life and that they can take back and pretty much do whatever they want at the expense of this little being that has now been implanted inside of them. And they don't think of it that way. And even Christians, we need to understand that when a woman does this, they have believed the lie of the evil one, that this is an acceptable, because why else would someone in the Old Testament sacrifice their child? Because it's acceptable, understanding the power that would come to them. It's acceptable for this woman who doesn't even really believe it's a, I mean, Jackie, how many of these women come in, don't even believe that this is a real human being inside them, that it's just tissue?
I think nowadays they believe it more than they used to. Planned Parenthood even doesn't call it a fetus anymore. Mm. They call it a baby. You can't deny what you see on an ultrasound.
That's right. So that's a change then. That's a victory there.
That's what makes it harder.
Yeah, for sure.
They absolutely know now that it's a baby.
Yeah.
And the sad part of it is it's not just a baby. It's their baby.
That's right. That's not anybody's baby.
And so for Satan to get you that deceived, and for I would be remiss if I thought or didn't say that this doesn't happen to the believer. Mm. We have seen them. I wouldn't say they're the majority of who we see for sure, but I've seen that go to our local supporting churches who come in, and they're some of the hardest to talk to. They know it's wrong. Mm. They know God will forgive them. Mm. And it's not because of there could be some shame involved.
Do you ever wake up already feeling spiritually behind? Like, no matter how much you pray, how much you read, or how much you serve, it's just never quite enough? Well, friend, you're not lazy and you're not faithless. You're tired and you're not alone. So many of us are living in a quiet prison, the one that whispers, "Grace saved you, but now it's up to you to keep it up." The one that turns rest into guilt. The one that makes you wonder if God is a little disappointed in you today. I wrote a new book just for you. It's called Enough in Christ, Freedom from a Performance-Driven Life. It's a book that takes you back to what Christ actually said from the cross, "It is finished," and shows you how to stop living like there's still work for you to do. You can download the whole book free at theocast.org. Christ really is enough, and in Him, so are you. You know, Peter says in his second letter, he says that we can be, as Christians, ineffective and unfruitful. And the reason that we become that way, he says, because of verse 9. So 2 Peter 1, 9, because we have forgotten, we've been cleansed from our former sins. This is what I think 1 Peter is talking about when we're talking about being sober-minded, being vigilant, is that if we do not forget that we live in a world, and this is where the conversation I wanted to go to,
yes.
But we live in a world that wants to intoxicate us with lies. And let me tell you what, those lies they're worth drinking, because otherwise they wouldn't be we wouldn't be warned about them. They sound good. Pleasure without consequence, right? Mm-hmm. Endless power. I mean, this is what we're talking about. That's the intoxication, meaning that I can sexually do whatever I want. And it's not only feels good, but the world now celebrates it. Like, we celebrate prison. People who are destroying their bodies, people who can't figure out what gender they are. We are literally having days and months of celebration. There's entire flags that are designed for it. And this is the type of thing that we are being warned against, that it says, hey, listen, do not allow that to entice you, because it's happening. People identify as a Christian, and they'll say that they are a gay or homosexual or LGBT Christian. Right? When we have two things that are opposing each other, and now we're collapsing them so that we can make them acceptable. And this is the type of, unfortunately, I live in the front end where I'm trying to keep people from this. You live on the latter end where they've already done it, and you're trying to capture them and protect them from themselves. And this is why, for anybody who's listening that would like to support Jackie and the Women's Center, or that lives in the area and wants to help support, you should, because we need parachurch organizations like this. But Jackie, the conversation you had and I had the other day, which kind of sparked this, was I don't think people really, if you don't realize that abortion is the ultimate culmination of demonic means. Like, that's the conversation you and I are having. Not only is it the culmination of it, but you yourself and the centers are feeling, they know what you're doing. And so they're coming at you. And it's hard to wrap your mind around this, where every day you wake up, you realize, all right, I'm going to face something that if I don't stand in the strength of the Lord and I don't put on the armor of God and understand who I am in Christ, because he's not going to come get you, I think, at times in the obvious, it's going to come in discouragement, in pride, in fear,
fatigue.
Right? Fatigue. That's right. Fighting, you know, gossip, slander. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It comes in. When we started this ministry, we met with a gentleman who helps a lot of organizations get started in this. And he told us so many horror stories. I mean, it was awful. And he goes, you will never feel the warfare of Satan. If you start this ministry, you will never know it until you start it. And so we started the ministry, and then he came down to do some training. Why did you tell us all of that? Yeah. And he goes, because if I told you and you still did it, then I felt that you were God called.
Mm. Yeah, this wasn't just a moment.
And I would say that in 38 years, warfare is real. Mm. We have seen, and you and I have talked, we have everyday things. I mean, we live in a broken world. Yeah. We live in sin, you know, sin all around us. We live in our own, you know, our own battles that we have to fight that aren't warfare. And I think sometimes we over-exaggerated and under-exaggerated.
That's right.
But I would say that there is a difference between my 38 years. It's unfortunate that I'm familiar with it. I wish I wasn't as familiar warfare.
Yeah.
But whenever you, in any capacity, try to go against the world and sin and Satan, it's not going to be without a fight.
No.
He is a very fierce adversary. He is not going to go down easy.
Mm-mm. No.
There's a lot of times I want to say, uncle, you got me in a headlock, and it is very powerful. When you're facing warfare, the bigger victory is God's, and it's great to see those God things that he does.
That's right.
But the women that work at our organization and our ministry are very familiar with warfare.
Mm, yeah, you have to be.
And I spend a lot of time trying to encourage them that every time we put the key in the door, we have to be with the full armor of God, because every time we put the key in the door, it's warfare.
We're fighting.
Every day,
yeah,
against the evil one, who that is his stronghold. Look at our country.
That's right.
Look how hard people work to kill these children.
That's right.
They don't take days off.
No. And what's interesting, when people think about warfare, just to jump in, Jackie, they think like, oh, and sometimes this does happen, but, you know, like the door won't open, or there's a chair flying across the room, or the, you know, that kind of stuff happens. But a lot of times it's the attack on the individual, where it's like, he's coming after my own sin. He's coming after my own stability. And, you know, this is true of pastors as well, where a lot of times pastors, we really do wrestle with depression and anger and bitterness because of how we've been hurt, and imposter syndrome, you know, and this is when sometimes people don't realize that this is why Sunday morning, hearing the gospel preached over you over and over and over again, being reminded that you are cleansed by Christ, is the way in which warfare happens. Because, what I said to you earlier today was that I had a reality in my truck this morning. Irritates me when I don't know it's him or not. And I hate that. I'm like, is this Satan, or is this just in my head? And then I'm like, how did he do that? How did he get in my head that now I'm not quite sure if it's him or not? And is the solution any different? No. But there are times where I just don't like to be messed with. I am like this clean cut. I want to have everything. I want to know exactly how it works. And unfortunately, that is not how the Spirit works. We walk by faith, not always understanding exactly what's happening. I'm sure there are moments where you've been counseling a woman and you're thinking to yourself, I don't think there's just two of us in here. Like, this, there's definitely more that's going on at this moment. But did that change anything for you? No, you had to stay focused and love her and care for her. And that's where I think there's two things that happen, Jackie. We either want to not believe it at all, and that makes us vulnerable, or people get so infatuated with it and they get so enthralled with it or afraid of it. That also keeps them out of the fight. And either one of them is not appropriate. And I will say this. I have watching you for 38 years and now being in ministry for 20 years. Ministry is quite boring. Like you know, people think like they hear us talk and they're like, wow, Jackie must live this exciting life. And I'm like, no, I've been with Jackie. It's not that exciting. And that's what I think makes it so hard.
I'm a good hostess.
You are a great. No, that's different. Family life is different.
That's true.
But my point is, every day that you go into the office, it's not that like you're seeing little demons up on the wall and it makes it sense. Like, I think people think of spiritual warfare sometimes as like, it's this invigorating, exciting thing. It's actually the mundane that ends up drowning you. And you, if you don't realize that every single day I have to walk in the strength of the Lord, I have to trust that I am weak and he is strong. And that at the end, you know, like every year, I'm sure for 38 years, you're like, do I still want to do this? Do I still want to
do this? Well, I tell the board all the time, I go every day, I put my resignation letter on the desk.
Yeah.
And every day I put it back in the drawer.
That's right.
At the end of the day. Because, you know, things have shifted and there's been a ban in Indiana. We don't see as many women as we have in the past, because in the state of Indiana, before the ban, you had to have an ultrasound, you had to have counseling, and you had to have a 48, 72 hour waiting period. Well, that's gone now. And so it's harder for us to see them because they don't need us.
That's right. Now.
So we don't see the now our Crown Point, Illinois offices, which is really surprising. But Illinois, of course, is going to be busier.
Yeah.
Our Indiana off, our Crown Point office is very busy. But for the satellite offices that aren't, what I talk a lot about is being faithful even when we don't see results.
That's right.
To be there in the mundane, right? Mm-hmm. You put the key in the door and you don't see anybody.
That's right.
But the fact of the matter is you're there.
That's right.
And it's harder to, for me, I'm not saying for me, to be faithful without result.
That's right.
You go, why am I here? Mm. Why am I sitting here? Why, I'm not making a difference. But we are making the difference for the one.
That's right.
So regardless if we saw somebody that day or we didn't, we're called to be faithful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're there. And I tell them, you know, I think it's only like 10%, I hate to give statistics out, of police officers that ever shoot their gun, right?
That's right.
Are people who are on the front lines protecting us are there even when there's not war.
That's right.
But they're ready.
That's right.
They're always ready. And so that's right. What we are. We may not have to fight it today, but we're ready.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we're being faithful. And that's where Satan can work. He can say, what are you here? This is useless. You don't need to be here. You could be, you know, cleaning your house, being with your kid, doing all of those things. But God calls us to be faithful.
That's right.
And so I think it's harder to be faithful in the desert.
That's right. Well, and this applies too, because you're a mom. And it's sometimes people think like, oh, I should be doing this and should be doing that. And it's like, no, love your kids. Love your church. Be where the Lord has you. And the reason why I mention this is that some people can walk away and be like, oh, I wish I was like John, or I wish I was like Jackie. And we're like, no, you don't. It's not as cool as you think it is.
Well, first of all, I can certainly speak on my behalf, but yours too. It's a humbling thing.
It is.
Yeah. Humble that I don't feel that I'm equipped in the sense of my own being. I'm not a brave person. I think sometimes God calls people who are not brave.
That would be 1 Corinthians. Brave. That's exactly what he says. Yeah.
And so I'm not that girl.
Right.
I am not her. I can outrun anybody when there's a threat. I'm just not that girl. Mm. He's called me to a different way to be, but it's an honor serve him.
That's right.
But there is a cost. I mean, 38 years, you've been 20 years. There's a lot of warfare. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it isn't, but there are some times that it really is. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference between the two. I think that's when you know.
That's right.
It seems so supernatural.
That's right.
In some ways.
That's right.
That you go, when people turn against you for no reason.
That's right.
You know, when Satan can use us as his best tool, things that you would never expect to happen out of the realm of norm, most of the time is spiritual warfare.
Because that's
right. What's that going to do? Discourage you. Mm-hmm. It's going to make you, it gives you fatigue. It gives you a lack of confidence. It does all those things. And once those things happen, it stops us from being successful.
That's right. Yeah. And both, I mean, you have been in the Reformed world a long time. I've been in the Reformed world a long time. And this is an uncomfortable conversation that often people don't want to have. But you're talking from experience of like, yeah, your theology can tell whatever you want, but I know what I'm experiencing and I know what I'm seeing. And this is the kind of conversations that I think are important to have, because there's two things that happen in the charismatic world. Sometimes it's so over exaggerated that people are thinking like, well, I must not be really in love with God because my life doesn't look like this. And then in conservative evangelicalism, it's like we believe in Satan, but not really. Like, he's there, but he's really not there. And where I find is a lot of people who are in ministry like we are, and they find themselves beat down, exhausted, and discouraged. And it is healthy to remind yourself saying, oh, wait a minute. This is because I really am doing something that matters. Like, the gospel really is going forward. People are being rescued. People are being cared for. That's why I have an opposition. And it doesn't always look exciting. It doesn't always, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to write a book about Jack or about John. It doesn't really matter if they do. That's not the point.
It may not be a good book. And all right. It could be a lot, short chapters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, very short chapters. Well, the smiles on our face is because in mid-sentence, we experienced... Can you call it spiritual warfare? I don't know. We had a fully charged laptop that lost its battery and then lost connection. So we don't know who credit to give other than maybe the company who made the laptop.
That's right. See, John, was it not?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Like, I don't want to give him credit at the same time. That really messed with my conversation, but like,
I know.
Thank God for his mercy.
Right. And we don't want to give him credit that he doesn't deserve.
Absolutely.
But I think he does, just from my own experience, and I know you as being a shepherd of a flock, right? Mm-hmm. There seem to sometimes be bigger targets.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And those are the things that I remind myself of. And sometimes I laugh at the calamities, because even if it is him, I just laugh and be like, well, nice try, buddy. I'm going to move on. And if it wasn't him, then that's life and who cares, right?
Right. But when the chair flies through the air, you might go, yeah, that might be him.
Yeah. I have definitely seen things where I'm like, that may not be Satan, but it's definitely one of his minions. And good night. That was terrifying.
So. I know, right? I will give you a quick example really quick.
Yeah.
How much we have. We did our build out in Illinois, and our builder is a believer, and he's got a huge company, builds in three states, and met with them and said, I just want to talk to him a little bit about warfare. Say, every time we do something like this, it you know, there's warfare. And he's like, yeah, I understand, you know, and he gets it, and whatever.
Right.
So when we were done with the project, I mean, we didn't have chairs that flew through the air, but there was an enormous amount of things, just like when we opened up our Gary office. But when he came in to see the finished product, because he hadn't been able to see it since we had everything moved in, and we're standing in the lobby, and he said, Jackie, because I've been doing this for over 25 years, my family has done it for how long, and we've built churches, we've built all, he goes, never have we ever experienced anything like this with building out yours. He goes, the warfare that you talked about when we were in the lobby the first time, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right.
He goes, I'm telling you, I have never seen it like this before.
Mm.
So it's not because that we're special.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but when I do believe that Satan has had such a hold, you know, for centuries over human sacrifice.
That's right. Yes.
Which is the creation.
That's right. God, I mean, this isn't just, you're not just kind of, you know, starting a fun zone for moms to come. You're trying to rescue lives out of the kingdom of darkness.
Well, it's a tug of war.
That's right. That's
right. It's a tug of war. It's the tug of war between light and dark. Mm-hmm. And we know that God can save every baby. And
right.
He can do miraculous things. And He has done miraculous things. Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of free will.
Yeah.
And Satan's hold. We pray every day, dear God, bind Satan outside of our doors. Mm. Don't let him walk in with them.
Amen.
And don't let him walk out with them.
You know, and it's so interesting how people miss the ending of Jesus's prayer and the Lord's prayer, and deliver us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and deliver us from the evil one. Well, why would we need to pray that? Well, because he is a menace. Is he greater than the one that's in us? No. But can he distract us, and can he cause pain and suffering to those around us and even to us? Yes. Can he be a menace? Yes. Does he lose? Yes. But for whatever reason, in God's sovereignty, we have to be reminded that if we are proclaiming the good news, which is the contrary to what the kingdom of darkness is, he wants to shut that down. And it's interesting. I remember you walked me into that building and you told me that story right when it opened, because we were there after it opened. And I can remember even thinking back then, because this was several years ago, like I just don't, it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact where this is the reality of the world that we live in. And to ignore it, I think, I'll just say this, Jackie, and I'll end it here. You have to walk by the power of the Spirit in every day of your job, because you know in your own flesh, you're not smarter than any demonic power that's been around for thousands of years. You can't outwit them. But what you can do is understand that God will protect me, and that I'm going to look to Christ to protect my heart, and I'm going to keep doing the job that I'm going to do. And to ignore it, you know, I always tell people to not wash your hands doesn't make germs go away. And to not walk by the Spirit, trusting in Christ and asking for his protection, doesn't, if you don't do those things, doesn't mean that Satan won't then mess with you. And so this isn't a podcast about fear. I think it's more sobering, saying, hey, we do live in a world, especially in the United States, where the majority of the people who are not Christians think it's okay to murder a baby. And
their baby. That's what's hard to understand.
And their baby, right? Yeah.
Their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to them when they're scanning. They go, here's your baby's heartbeat. Mm. Here's your baby. We're trying to identify that with her the whole time. But because our world has changed to even more about human sacrifice, and when people were in hats that say make abortion great again.
Word.
And how as we as believers and those sitting in the pews of the church, sometimes because we don't think it affects our life, but it certainly affects our community and it affects our world, is that it's happening.
That's right.
It, just because it's banned in our state, but the birth rate hasn't gone up. It's just because they're going across the state line.
That's right.
So for us to be complicit in the fact that we think it's not happening, or that we've won the battle, we know who does.
That's right.
But it is the side who wants to take the life of children and destroy the lives of women and families is very active and very committed and very passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
That we have to meet that bigger and better because of who we serve.
That's right. I mean, Jesus warned us, he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And people think it's going to be obvious, like, oh, that's obviously Satan. No, that's why he's the great liar. He is the ultimate liar. And the fact is, the whole world lives in the power. Our United States lives in the power of the evil one. And the solution is not anger and violence. The solution is compassion, mercy, and the gospel, which is exactly what this Women's Center is doing. And exactly, and you're not disconnected from the church. This isn't church for you. You are involved in your church. And you partner with both.
Well, I don't worship at the Women's Center. I mean, that's not my place of worship. Yeah. Certainly we worship there because we have to be girded and we walk on
that's
our
right.
knees. But if you even look how Satan makes himself so attractive, look at the Garden of Eden.
That's right. It's right. She wasn't appalled by that.
No.
No, and that's why most sin, if not all.
We're so easily deceived, and I'd be the first to raise my hand and say,
so am I.
Yeah. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
And I am.
Yeah.
We all are. And that's why we absolutely know that God is powerful and great and
Amen.
Good. But we have to be ready for war.
That's right.
And I think the further, you know, the days go and the closer we get to his coming, which we certainly don't know when it is, but it seems like we're on a fast track.
Yeah, you know. It feels like it.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, the apostles thought that too.
Exactly.
But the closer we get, we know the ending of the book is that we want to be faithful.
Amen.
Wherever he's called us to be.
That's right.
And the battle is worth it.
Amen.
Does it hurt? Yeah, it hurts to get shot. Been shot a lot of times. Mm. You've been shot a lot of times. Anybody who proclaims, you know, the cause of Christ and even talking to your neighbor.
That's right. Amen.
You know, nobody's exempt.
That's right.
That knows him. Mm. And you're never prepared for it in the sense that sometimes it just comes up, but we know who to call upon.
Amen. Amen. Well, I always like to end with a solution, which is always Christ. And you're thinking to yourself, well, how do I participate? How do I want to join in on this. Well, realize that first of all, it's not as exciting as you might think. That's the first lie. Number two, but it's worth it. Like, that's the thing. It's like, we live every day trusting in the sufficiency of Christ because we're rescuing people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. And so if you have a center that you can participate in, understand that you are showing mercy and compassion, and you may not be the one who shares the gospel, but you trust God and showing that mercy and compassion and leave that to the Lord and know that down the road, that somewhere down the road, that the Lord can use that. And we have this in scripture when Peter talks about this. So, and I would encourage churches to get involved in local communities, to do these type of things, to partner with your local centers. And if you're in an area or you're in a place where you can't do that and you want to help partner with Jackie, then I would encourage you to do so. So Jackie, if they wanted to learn more about what you're doing or even maybe participate and help, which is not why I brought you on here. And I know that I'm totally throwing this on you.
No, and I would encourage people, you know, first of all, in your own community.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I think if there's an, you know, a ministry that, and we're an organization, but we're definitely a ministry, is to find your local ministry.
That's right.
Find the people who are trying to go after that one. Mm. And that would be my first, you know, my first encouragement.
Yeah.
Is that it's like if you're going to go to church, go to your community church, go to one in your community.
Good.
And, you know, if somebody wanted to, they can certainly go to friendsofthewc.org.
Okay.
Certainly not looking for that. I think it's best in your own community.
Absolutely.
To support the people.
But after you've supported people in your own community and you want to do more, or if there might be someone who's listening and they are working a center and they have questions or, you know, who knows, but if they wanted to reach out to you, they could go to Friends of the WC, which is the Women's Center. Yeah. So Friends of the WC.org.
Yep.
And
they can, and know that, yes, the warfare, everybody has it. It's hard. And sometimes it doesn't seem like it's worth it here, but it will in eternity.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. 38 years. I know every year you're trying to decide what is next.
You know what? It's, you know, people say, so when are you going to retire? And he hasn't released me yet. Mm.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know that I'll ever be released fully.
Sure.
From it, but he knows when that day and time is, and I never want to be a hindrance to what we do. I always want to be what would expand our footprint. We're not people that are trying to make kingdoms. Kingdoms, you know, trying to make kingdoms out here. We're just trying to serve where God wants us to be. But you know, he'll reveal it. He hasn't yet. Doesn't mean I don't still put that resignation letter on my desk every day. Put it back.
Anybody who's in ministry for a long period of time, they have those thoughts of like, all right, how much longer do I have, Lord, before I face plant? You know, I don't want to face plant. So how much longer do I have?
Right. Well, when you think about it, and then I'll certainly close with that, is that, you know, I, at my age, I'm 35, but,
that's right.
You know, at my age, most of my friends are serving in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not at this capacity, not because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because of any of those things.
Yeah.
But you do look at the, you know, the other side of it and you go, wow, that would, you know,
be nice. Be
lovely. But I feel honored that he's still willing to use me.
Amen. Yeah. You have a unique opportunity. Not a lot of people have, and we praise the Lord for it for sure.
Amen. Well, I'm so thankful. You're
Fine with you. This is awesome. Well, first time to be able to partner. So how fun. So yeah. I've had my mom on now. I've had my aunt. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah. Look, I think I know. Right. How fun. So no, it's been an honor and encouragement. And if you live in the area, look Jackie up. I guarantee she would. You put on a banquet every year. That's a great way if you live in the area. Which, Jackie, where are the centers again? So it's Gary, Gary, Indiana. Gary's closed down. That's right.
Closed. But we have DeMont, we have Crown Point, and we have Olympia Fields in Illinois.
So if you live in those areas and your church isn't supporting or isn't partnering with, have them reach out and find out how they can. I know we do have listeners up in that area. And thank you, Jackie, for coming on. And we got to talk about everything, anything and everything. And it was great. And if nobody listens but me, I loved every second of it.
We had a great time.
That's right.
It was so good to see you, John.
Absolutely. And I do need to come up and see you guys. It's been way too long. So
you do.
It might just be Judith and I because the kids are too busy these days. I know. Want to see the girls. I get it.
I love those boys.
The boys are pretty cute. They are pretty cute.
Yeah, they are. I love your children.
And Jackie might be Knox's favorite. We won't tell anybody else that, but we'll just leave that go.
I so love him.
And everybody who's listening, thank you for listening. I'm so glad that you're here. If we have a wonderful community, we do fun stuff like this. You can join. Just go to theocast.org and learn more about that. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jackie, for being on here. And Lord willing, we'll be celebrating around the King's throne soon. But if not, we'll have another episode for you next week. See you later. Hey guys, real quick. Some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.